First of all, I apologize, we're starting so late. But emes is always, whenever we have these later shiurim, first and foremost, it gives me such chizik. Mi talmida yoyse mi kulam. Always cheshbening, not cheshbening whether we should have shiur or not. Chever knows, Thursday night, no matter what this shiur. And specifically tonight, the reason we have late shiur is Baruch Hashem was the simcha, the chasana of Itcha Maltel Berger, who's Mamish has been as consistent as anyone at this shiur, as Mamish, usually right next to me, leading the Zemiras. His chasana tonight was so special, and to him and Missy, Shprintz of Rachaleah, they should be zoichet, build a bais on Yisrael, Mali Simcha, Mali Bracha. And the Shemata would only have it that we'd have shiur tonight. And the Chever knows, no matter what, this shiur Thursday night, as long as I'm around in New York, no matter what, there hasn't been for eight weeks, but no matter what, this shiur Thursday night. Again, as long as I'm within an hour drive of my home and not living 2 hours away. But it always gives me this opportunity whenever we have this later shiur, I'm thinking, okay, how many guys are going to show up? Maybe we'll just have a few guys, which also is beautiful and is all good. And to see so many guys come out so late to understand the chashivas of Torah, specifically during Yimei Elul, mi talmidei yoseh mekulam. So I thank you for the chizik that I received just by seeing you here. It's tremendous. We're sitting here, Yimei Elul. I want to just read you a paragraph that I read a few weeks ago. The Kleisenberger Rebbe, Rabbi Kusiel Yehuda Halberstam, had a very special letter from the Bnei Yisachar, Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech. Generally, the Bnei Yisachar wrote clearly and very legibly. However, this letter had been written very sloppily. The lines are uneven and messy, and the letters are barely decipherable. At the end of this short letter, he writes, V'lo uchal laharich machmas shiyadai merasasin kishani koisev mipachar Hashem umimoyre yoyim hadin. I am not able to write any longer because my hand is trembling when I write from the fear of Hashem and the dread of the age of judgment. The Bnei Yisachar, who says was generally writing in such a fine way during these days leading up to the Yom Narayim, you saw in his handwriting that he was trembling. We have to think about what our days are like, recognizing how important these days are, the days of El, as we prepare for Rosh Hashanah, prepare for the Yom HaDin, prepare for Mamish, all the din of our upcoming year. Mi yichye mi yamas, mi yasher mi yani. We think back to this previous year, and we all know people who had Baruch Hashem wonderful, beautiful years of Simcha and Bracha, and those who had difficulties, and those who had Nisyonos, and those who had Machlas. And that was all determined Yom HaNarayim. We're leading up to those days. We have to recognize how important these days are, to make the most of every day. There was a young man tonight at the Chasana, pulled me aside to talk to me. Nobody knows who I'm talking about. There are a lot of people, Baruch Hashem, I spoke to at the Chasana tonight. And I don't remember if he said it was Mamish last night or the night before. He said he didn't know if he was sleeping or awake, but he had like a vision. And he saw Mamish, he saw that he was in the kever. He was in the kever, as if he was in the kever, and they were Mamish pouring dirt on top of him. He was Mamish trembling. He wanted to know, should he have a tainus chalom? What message he should take? So he says, first of all, it's very important when you have a dream, the Gemara Brachos already teaches us, you have to interpret it in the proper way, and in a way to give you chizik, and in a good way. That all chalomos, all dreams go according to the interpretation, ultimately. It's 1/60th of the Nevuah, but we have to know how to interpret in a positive way. And that's how the dream's going to be. We know at the end of Brachos, it talks all about this. So it says, no question to me, all the Eibishter was telling was the following. You shouldn't have a pachad that you're going to mamish, that you have to have a tainus chalom, or that the Rosh Hashanah is telling you that terrible things are coming your way. He's telling you to feel kilu yazkir le'yam amisa. That we're supposed to be living our lives every day. As Gemara and Brachos say, our whole life is the V'yei Tzahara. Im nitzchumuta v'im lavzok. we have to Oisik B'Toyra and Krishma. What's the final step? Yazkir Leim Amisa. Because if Yazkir Leim Amisa, if we think about the day of death, not in a depressing way, but in a way to say, I have to make the most of every moment in this world. And the Rabbanu Shalom was giving you chizik for Yumei El to make the most of every day. That's how you should take the chizik from the Rabbanu Shalom, the Cyrus from the Rabbanu Shalom. That's all it is. But it's important, Cyrus. These are important days. And very important days of Anila Doidi V'Doidi Li. Very important days primarily to just build a deeper kesher with Hashem. To be close to Hashem. To feel Hashem in our lives. To feel Shavisi Hashem Amegdi Samir. For the past 2 months, I had the amazing schus to be up in the Pocono Mountains. Such a schus to be back together with the chevra, be here at this table Thursday night. I'll tell you, one of the hardest things being away for the summer was not giving shir Thursday night. Every Thursday night, emes. It was an incredible summer, but every Thursday night I felt a loss. I felt like something was chaser. Even when I was sitting learning by myself, but I felt chaser Thursday nights. I never went so long not giving Thursday night in the past 12 years. And this shir is something very special to me. Very, very special. It was very hard not giving this shir for the past 8 weeks. It's a schus to be back together. I was excited for the chasen tonight, but I was also mamish excited to be able to give shir tonight, to be able to be back together tonight. Hopefully this is the last shir in Chutz La'aretz. Next week we'll be in Yerushalayim HaKodesh, but we'll give. We'll have. Some of us vada will be in Yerushalayim HaKodesh. Some of us, the rest of us, we have to daven a little harder, hopefully. So it was very hard, but I had this chus to be in the Pocono Mountains, and I'll tell you something, a hakara that I had over the past 8 weeks, which is incredible. You know, when you're living, and some of the other chevra had this chus over the summer to be in the Catskills and other makoimos, when you're living in such places, you're living up in the mountains, it's a lot easier, I feel, it's a lot easier to be one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the following way. You know, we live in these makoimos, whether it's in the five towns, and whether it's in Queens, and then we go and visit the city at times if we have to. Try to stay away from such makomis, but and everything's built up. Every step you take is a building, and is a car, and is mamish, is a skyscrapers, and it's all, and it's so much that's man-made. Everywhere you look is man-made.
That's Manhattan.
Manhattan. Very good, right? Yeah. It's all man-made. Everything. And every inch, there's so little land even. Mamish, there's so little land. Everything's built upon. And anywhere you look, and then you get it. We live in, obviously, a world of technology and everything. Now, obviously, those of us who know, we know that everything is man-made. It's obviously all those koichis and everything's from the Eibishter. But it's by the fact that when you look around, everything's man-made, it's one step removed. There's more of a tzimtzum of the Eibishter within it. We're not able to feel. We feel sometimes. There are those who feel. It's like the koichi v'itim yadi. Even if it wasn't my koichi, it's somebody else's koichi. And I don't feel God here as much. Because everything's man-made. Everything's for men. And you go up to the mountains. And you look around. And everywhere you look are beautiful trees. And beautiful. And mamish. And you're sitting by a lake. And you have birds flying all with beautiful colors all over the place. And I mamish had this chus. I had a makom. Some of the chevers saw pictures of it. I had a makom this summer. Baruch Hashem, my bungalow was like steps from this secluded area next to the lake. It was mamish meinom haba. And I would sit and learn. Mamish overlooking the lake with trees over me. And birds flying. And sometimes I look to my left. There'll be rabbits. Mamish jumping right next to me. And frogs jumping right next to me. Mamish. Snakes slithering by. As I'm sitting and learning, and it was an incredible experience. And you look around, and this is the Bar Yalma. A Bar Yalma. No one else has touched this. This is from the Bar Yalma. This is from Sheish Shemei Bereishis. You look around. This is Sheish Shemei Bereishis. And I felt a different kirvus elokim. Personally, I just felt you could feel the Rabbanu Shem. You can't. There's no denying the Davishter. You could have that. You could have an understanding in a much clearer way how Avram Avinu, who grew up and he's taught Avodah Zarah and taught, was able to go outside and look around at the nature of the world, look around at the trees and the animals, and say, "There's a Bar Yalma, and I want to be with him always." And I feel bad that we live in these makomos. I don't know if we're, you know, that we're mamish, just you look around, it's all Brias Adam, which obviously all those koichos are from the Eibishter, but it's a little more removed. Our avodah these days is try to get closer to the Rebbeinu Shalom and rebuild that relationship with the Rebbeinu Shalom. We have to do it to wherever we are. That's where the Rebbeinu Shalom put us. And if you put us in a matzav where we're not able to be in such makoimas where it's a little bit easier, we have to make it happen here. So why doesn't it happen? Why is it not so clear? It should be so. The way that it's clear there should be clear also here. Ultimately, there's an Eibishter that runs the world. The Eibishter that created every one of us. Our avodah is to be close to Him, to be mizdavik to Him, to serve Him. Yet we still, even during Elul, let's be real, even during Elul we're struggling. Even during Elul, are we davening the way we're supposed to be davening? Are we learning the way we're supposed to be learning? So Sfaradim are going Slichus, which I'm envious of in a certain way. But at the same time, even I could ask the Sfaradim. The slichos might be with tremendous kavana. Are the shachrus mincha ma'ariv with tremendous kavana? And us Ashkenazim, what are tefillos like? So we added l'david Hashem ma'ariv yishi. Are we saying that extra tefillah with kavana? Look at that tefillah, that kapitel tehillim. What gorgeous words! Acha shalti meis Hashem oiz v'akishim tiveis Hashem kol yemei chayei. So why is it not so simple? Even during Yemei Elul, even as the Bnei Yisrael is troubling, why are we not? Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave each and every one of us Bechir Chavshis. The Kodesh Baruch Hu gave each and every one of us Bechir Chavshis. And He gave us, to build that Bechir Chavshis, He gave us a Yetahara, and He gave us Taivas, and we have a constant battle between Yetah Tov and Yetahara, and even though intellectually and even deep in our life we know what's right, we have Taivas and we want different things in this world that's Gashmias, and I'm pulled. And therefore it's hard. And I have atzlus, I have laziness. And it's hard. Now ultimately the Bechiru is given to us. The Bechiru is given to us. As we all know, we've all learned Sifrei Machshava and understand that the Bechiru is given us so that we could earn a higher schar and a higher connection to Hashem. Because if through that Bechiru I'm able to connect to Hashem and I'm able to choose right, a Bechar to Bechayim, the schar is so much greater. Lefum tzara agra. Right? Lamashal. You have a basketball game. If you have a basketball game, and you're playing against a tremendous competition, you're playing against a very good team, and you win, you feel it's a tremendous accomplishment. It's incredible. But if you're playing against a very poor team, and you're destroying them, it doesn't feel so good. It's not such a great schar. It's not such a great reward. Even if the Golden State Warriors were playing against the DRS Wildcats and they beat them 200-0, it's no big deal. True, this Golden State Warriors, they even beat any NBA team, it's really no big deal. But that's for another discussion. Lemaisa, we understand that Bechir Chavshitz builds ability to have deeper schar and deeper tanig, deeper pleasure from that Kesher to Hashem. And that's why we have this Bechir, but the Bechir is what we struggle with. But I want to suggest tonight something that I saw from the Hilgas Fas MS. And a lot of this is based on a Torah I saw from Rav Shmuel Brazili. Has a tremendous Torah, a tremendous Sefer, an Elul. He brought down his Fas MS from Sukkot. He says as follows. Fas MS says, and listen closely, Chavar, I'm going to try my best to explain this very well because I think it's the Yisoyidus of Avodas Hashem. So Fas MS says, of course, each and every one of us have Bechira Chavshis. But a person can choose to not choose. Livchor shelo livchor. It's up to us, livchor shelo livchor. To choose not to choose. To decide, as much as HaKadosh Baruch Hu given me the choice and puts me into this battle, which I'm victorious, it's going to be this very high level of Dveikus, I'm choosing not to choose. I'm choosing just to be mevatel myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not even have this choice anymore. I could choose not to have Bechira. We're going to explain what this means. Basically, we're throwing it back to Hashem. Hakol b'day shemayim. Not chutz mi yishpim, it's all. Hakol b'day shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm mevatel to you completely. I know Levi, and I'm just serving you in every way. And I'm no longer battling. And you can make that decision. Livchor shelo livchor. Rabbi Shlomo Salanter, and I'm going to explain. Rabbi Shlomo Salanter, he says, what about if a person has the following choice? following choice. He could choose to learn with a chavrusa in a chabura day in and day out. Good chavrusa, good chabura. Or he could choose to learn alone. Now, if he's able to learn alone, without the responsibility of a chavrusa, and without the help of a chabura, and he's able to go and pound day in and day out, it shows tremendous his lavas in his avodas Hashem and his learning. And maybe his learning's on a much higher level today, Bishter, and he could be considered mamash on a much higher level. Aber what? There's a risk factor, right? The risk is, you don't have your chavrusa to push you, you don't have your chavrusa to have a responsibility to get there on time, you might come late, you might leave early, you don't have the chavrusa to help challenge you and think on a higher level in your learning. The flip side, I could learn alone, and if I achieve learning alone, it's the highest of levels because I'm fighting against all these pressures to not show up and not, but I might also fall because I don't have, right? I have my chavrusa, I'll definitely be there, and I'll definitely learn, but it's a lot easier. So what should I choose? What's my choice? Rav Shlomo Solovyov says, choose to go with the chavrusa and the chabur. Choose to go. In other words, choose to take away my choice. Put myself in a position where I can't choose whether I'm going to show up on time because I'm having a chrayas to somebody else. I can't choose to leave early. I can't choose to be mevatel. It's not right to my friend. It's not right to the chabur, it's not right to my chavrusa. Choose not to choose. Livchor shalo livchor. It's better not to have the choice. It's very tief. You hear this Torah? Chaver, I want you to understand. Don't you think to yourself, what do you mean? But then you take away, then I'm no longer Bechir Chavshis. I took my Bechir, it was my Bechir Chavshis to choose not to choose. So I have Alamailas. Meaning what? What's the mile of Bechir Chavshis? That I'm going and fighting against the grain and showing the Rabbonu Shalom how much he means to me, even with all the pressures and all the taivas. But here I'm taking that and I'm choosing not to choose. I'm choosing not to choose. I'm deciding, but I'm still deciding it. So I gain all the miles of Bechir Chavshis, but now I'm taking away my Bechir Chavshis. I'm not going to play games anymore. I'm above it all. I'm Mevatel Takadosh Baruch Hu. You know what my life is? Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem, whatever Ratzon. Batel Ritzon Chol, Ritzon No. It's a Beferish Mishnah in all of us, right? That's choosing not to choose. I'm going to say, Libchor Shalom Libchor. Better not to have the choice. In Tehillim Kuf Yutes, Pasuk Kuf Samach Beis, the Pasuk says, Sos Anoichi Al Imrasecha. I'm very excited and happy and joyous. Sos Al Imrasecha, on what you said, Kemaitze Shalal Rav. Like one who finds a great gain, a great shalom. What's that talking about? When's Hashem so besimcha and happy with us? When sos? So Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Lamed says, is it talking about Bris Milah? Or Mekayim Bris Milah? Mekayim Bris Milah. And you should all know this, that sos is Bris Milah. Where do you know sos is Bris Milah, anyone? Huh? Sason. We are where? Like, thank you, Chefer, right? Beautiful, it was a ruby. Lehudim ha'isa oira of simcha v'sason. Gemara Megillah says, oira zutaira. Simcha zutas yantiv. Oira simcha. Sason zu mila. Kikar zu tefillin. That's why you're supposed to keep on your tefillin when we read Megillah. Lehudim ha'isa oira of simcha sason kikar. So sason zu mila. So sas anoich el mersecha. Hashem's happy when we're doing Bris Milah. Hashem brings Simcha. We're doing Bris Milah. Think about Bris Milah. Bris Milah, the baby has any choice. The baby has any bechira. This 8-year-old baby. This Chus Baruch Hashem last week to be by the Bris Milah. Jeremy Wernick, who was a longtime member of this year, had a baby boy. Had this Chus to be there. To name the baby was an amazing Chus. Nachas. It was Bris Milah. I'm looking at this 8-day baby. Mamish Kedusha Batara. Someone went and asked the baby, by the way, you want to go and take this cut? Anyone asked the baby, you know? Anyone had such a bechira? Even though there's no bechira, that's what brings HaKadosh Baruch Hu happiness. When we choose not to choose, when I'm not going to have bechira anymore, and Bris Milah is the foundation to all other mitzvahs. Bris is gematria. No? What? Bris is 612. This mitzvah is the corridor, is the foundation. This mitzvah is a corridor to all other mitzvahs. Through the bris, then mekayim all other 612 mitzvahs. A mitzvah that I've decided, livchar shelo livchar. I'm choosing not to choose. So what's the pasuk say? Sas anayich el mersecha. I'll be listening to Schever, unbelievable. Sas anayich el mersecha. We bring happiness to Hashem through bris milah. We're going to find, translate as in English, like one who finds great gain. It's tremendous gains. This word shalol, what's that place to mitzvahs? Shalol, Rashi Tevos, livchar, shalol, livchar. Livchar, shalol, livchar. Livchar, shalol, livchar. Rashi Tevos, shalol. Meaning what? That's where the gains come from. When I choose not to choose, when I'm no longer in this battle, who do we know had their bechira taken away from them? Whose bechira was taken away from them? Paro, Shkoyach Max, beautiful, right? Paro had the bechira taken away from him. What do we see by Mitzrayim? Omar oyev erdof asiga chalek shalom. Livchor shalom livchor. We have to learn from that the same way. Just like Paro had his bechira taken away, because Paro, that was zelu mazeh. Paro had it taken away, the Rambam explains, because he sank so low, and that was letumah. We have to take that same yisod, zelu mazeh, l'kedusha, libchar shlo libchar. We have to make that choice. And we have to show the Eibishter during these Yimei El, I'm a ratzon Hashem dekiyir. I was learning earlier this week, I had one chavrus over the summer. Over the summer, tremendous chus. Okay, so I really didn't take the eighth of Rishol Solanter. It's chatayim is animasker yom. That being said, I was with 400 women, so I don't know who my chavruses were supposed to be, pretty much. But I did have, there were a few men that were there full. Most of the men only came up for Shabbos Kaddish from Thursday night till Shabbos Kaddish. Wonderful, B'nai Torah, wonderful people. There were a few men. So I learned with a Chaver Tov, very special young man, Yechiel Bressler. We learned together in Yeshiva Sholem and Aleph, and we went through Avos Hashem and Yiras Hashem, Dveikus LaHashem. And the last thing we learned together was Mitzvahs Kiddush Hashem. Tremendous, tremendous to learn about V'nikdash Tibsoch B'nei Yisrael and to be willing to give up our life out Kiddush Hashem. That each and every one of us has this chiyuv to have that in our minds, that I'm willing to give up my life out Kiddush Hashem. Like Rabbi Akiva, who waited his whole life to be Mekayim. So he had a line here. Listen as follows. He said, and when a person gives up his life, al kiddush Hashem, listen to what he says. And I think it's everything we're trying to explain. He says, lo yargish ki nosein hu mishalola kadosh baruch hu. He shouldn't feel like this is tremendous. I'm giving up my life to Hashem. It's a tremendous thing I'm doing for Hashem. Because I have so much to offer the world, and I have so much to be in the world, and I have so many kolchos, and there's so much here. You shouldn't feel like you're doing so much. You're noisin hu mishalol lakadosh baruch hu, that you're giving from yourself lakadosh baruch hu. Ella hu v'chol asher lo hakol batal lav yisparach. What should you feel? That you and everything that you are, you're batal to Hashem. You're mebatal to Hashem. You're already mizdabek to Hashem. You're nullified to Hashem. So of course it's not even a choice. Of course I give up my life to Hashem. This is what he's saying. He's saying if it's a choice. And you're cheshbening it and thinking, wait, I have so much in my life, and my wife, and my children, and all the mitzvahs I could do, and I'm cheshbening even b'kedusha v'tahara, maybe not to do it. It's a choice. So then it's a choice, and I'm giving myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No! Chol hu v'chasher lo hakol batel av yisbarach. It shouldn't even be a choice. Because I'm livchar shlo livchar. When you're livchar shlo livchar, 24-7, I'm doing ratzon Hashem, no matter what. There's no choice. And I've gained the miles of making that choice, because I've made that choice. And that's the level each and every one of us needs to achieve during Yimei Elul, Ani L'Dod Dividod Dili. That's when we have this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the highest of levels. I'm sure I've shared this Torah before. Whenever I'm saying Ani L'Dod Dividod Dili, I can't not say over. It's our first shir during Elul, the Torah from Rav Moshe Weinberger from years and years ago. Lel Slichos, this must have been at least 12 years ago, maybe more. It's a Torah that I mamish live with every day of Elul from the day that I heard that Torah from him, that Lel Slichus, I wrote it up in the Sefer and Shemos, which isn't out yet, Chavra, but it's finished, Bez Hashem. It happens to be, I was reading through this book over the summer, Yechiel Spiro's A Touch of Purity, which are stories and Torahs on for El, a very, very beautiful book. And he had the Torah in there from Rav Moshe Weinberger. I don't know when he heard it or who told it to him. I was there when he said it, Lel Slichus, years ago. And he said as follows. It's really what we're saying in a certain way. It's really what we're saying. Of what our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li, we know, is from where? From Shir Shirim, right? Who wrote Shir Shirim? Shlomo HaMelech. The wisest of Yidden to ever grace the world. So if he's going to choose a terminology of love, there must be a deep chacham in it. So why is he choosing Ani l'doidi v'doidi li? I am to... Isn't that a strange word? We're used to it. But if I would have asked you, if we never knew this line, and asked you, if I want to turn into Hebrew, I am to my beloved, my beloved is to me, everybody in this room would have said, if you didn't know this line, Ani la o'aviv o'avili. So, that's the word for love. That's the normal word for love. Which we find throughout the Torah. Dodi? Now we translate English like that, but Dodi? If it's not in the context of this line, if I told you, translate Dodi for me, what would Dodi be? My uncle. So why would... Now every word in Hebrew has... if it has different English translations, those words have to be connected. What's the connection? So Weinberg explains so beautifully. He says there's two different relationships in this world. There are blood relatives. And there's marriage. Like we have this chus tonight. What a simcha. What a simcha. Marash is incredible. So he says, Ismailis and Chesronos in both. In a blood relative, the Maila is, no matter what, you're related. No matter what, you're connected. You can never disconnect from a sibling or from a parent. They're always your parent, they're always your sibling. There's no such thing as ever severing that relationship. But the Chesaron is, because you were born into it, it could be that it's not such a tremendous love. Not just strips up. There are siblings that haven't spoken in 50 years. That have nothing to do with each other, naturally. It doesn't mean there's going to be such a deep love there. Why? Because you haven't chosen that relationship. You were born into it. So the maila is, it's always there. The chisaron is, it doesn't necessarily have to be full of such love. When marriage, you have also a maila and chisaron. The maila is, you've chosen it. So it's this ava on the highest of level. The chisaron, there's a parish of gerushin in the Torah. It's possible to sever that relationship, to disconnect. You could get divorced and not be related anymore. Who are the closest blood relatives that are allowed to get married al pi HaTorah? An uncle and a niece. Uncle and niece, they're allowed to marry each other. And uncle and niece are allowed to get married. Sounds strange to the chevra here. But that's the halacha. There was a great woman, Nechama Leibowitz, holding kol HaTorah Kula. She was married to her uncle. An uncle's allowed to marry a niece. What happens when you have an uncle marrying a niece? You have a relationship, a kesher, with alamailas. You have blood relatives, so therefore these are two individuals that will always be connected. But they're also now choosing to get married, that ava shaleish. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. You know what Shlomo Melech was trying to teach us? Our relationship with the Eibishter should be the same. Halavai should be a relationship with this Ava Shaleish, with the Slavas, that with no matter what we're connected, we're feeling it, like so much we always want to feel it, and we want to be connected in that way. But at times when we don't feel it, we're never disconnected. I'm always one with Hashem. I'm always connected to the Eibishter, even when I don't feel it. That's what it means, Livchar Shalom Livchar. If it's only the relationship full of Ava and Simcha and the Tish and the Kumzitz and the Ila and Simcha's Torah, those are choices I'm making which are so clear and beautiful. Our choice during Yimei Elul has to be that I'm not making choices anymore. I'm connected to Hashem, I'm Shavishan, I'm Nagdi Samir, I'm Ila Doidi V'Doidi Li, always, in every circumstance, in every situation. That's our Avodah. You know, in Parshat Tazria, you have right next to each other the Tumas Leda, that when a woman gives birth, she's Tame and has to bring a korban. That's right next to the Halachas of Bris Milah. What's the connection between the two? Tzadik asks this. So Shmuel Brazil brings down, I think it was his own Torah. He says, what happened? Why is there by Leda, by childbirth, such pain and suffering by a woman that she has to go through 9 months and the childbirth itself is full of pain and suffering? We all know it's klolos of Chava, right? From Chet Beit Hadas. He says, what happened with Chet Beit Hadas? Many Mefarshim point out, when Chava ate from Beit Hadas, what was she trying to do? She thought, until that point, there was no Yetzirah within any individual, and there was therefore, in a certain way, no Bechira. Of course, we're all going to just do right. We're living in Gan Eden, we're close to Hashem, there's no Yetzirah with us, no Bechira. She said, wait a minute, if there's no Bechira, I'm not going to be on the highest of levels. She was eating from the Eitz Hadas, so there would be Irv of Tovara, and she put herself into a Parsha, where there would be now Bechira between what's right and wrong, so that she'd choose right and be having a higher level schar. We're understanding tonight that's wrong. We're supposed to, now that we have Bechira, pum fakert, livcha shalo livcha. So what's the klal of Chava? She's put in a circumstance where she has to suffer through pregnancy and have difficulties through pregnancy. Now, a woman gets pregnant. Now she's in a circumstance where she has no choice. Her Bechira is taken away from her. She's going through pain and difficulty, and no matter what, it's going to be 9 months and then childbirth. And trust me, any woman doesn't want it, but she's got no choice. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away her Bechira for those 9 months. Why? Because that's what you wanted. You wanted to go and have Bechira. Hashem says, no, Libchar Shalom Libchar. I want you not to have Bechira. I'm going to take away Bechira. Then what does a woman say? Famous Gemara. In childbirth, and she's going through such pain and such suffering, she starts cursing and saying, I'm never going to do this again. I'm never going to put myself in this circumstance again. I'm never going to put a circumstance where I have no Bechira again. So then she has to have Tumah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, that's not what I want from you. I want you, Libchar Shalo Libchar. I want you to be in a circumstance where you have no choice. And therefore you have to be a karbon, because it's wrong of you to make such a klala. It's wrong of you to make such a klala. I want you to recognize that we can't have to take away our Bechira. That's what I want, just like you went through just now. You're wrong. And that's what Tumas Leid is. The whole Tumas Leid is to teach a woman, Chava, and to teach us through that we should be in a circumstance that we should choose not to choose. So what's the juxtaposition to Bris Milah? Because as we explained already earlier tonight, the mitzvah Bris Milah is Livchar Shlo Livchar, is a circumstance of no Bechira, and that's the foundation of Kol HaTorah Kula. Each and every one of us has to say, Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Elul, I'm with Hashem no matter what, I'm Livchar Shlo Livchar. Livchar Shalom Livchar. You know, we see this as well. One last idea. Sasenis brings down. We know famously by the beginning of Parshas Vayikra and Sefer Vayikra, the pasuk says, Yakriv oso lirtzono. Yakriv oso lirtzono. When you bring the karbon, it should be lirtzono. You have to have ratzon. You have to have will and desire. And what do we learn from there? What's the Gemara learn from there? You have to force the person till he says, I want to. On Rosh Hashanah, we bring a shofar. And the shofar, strangely enough, where we learn the halachas of shofar, we learn in Parshas Pinchas with all the karbanos of the Moedim, instead of Parshas Emor with all the Moedim where it should be, in the mitzvahs of the Moedim. So Hashem says, you know why? Because the shofar has to remind us of the korban of Yakrivo so lirtono. Koifin oso achi emersini. What's koifin oso achi emersini? Take away my bechira. You force the guy to say rotani that I want to be with God. Livchar shlo livchar. Shofar is supposed to be from an aisle. Aisle is Rosh Tevos. Yakrivo so lirtono. Yakrivo so lirtono. Yakrivo so lirtzono. He's Rashitevas Isle. And the shofar is supposed to be bent, which is Kaifin or so. You force him, you bend him over. Until he says Roitzani. Roitzani is Gematria 362. Exactly, Gematria, Yom Kippur. The culmination of all these days is Kaifin or Tachi Yom Roitzani. Is to say, I want to be with Hashem, Livchar Shalo Livchar. Livchar Shalo Livchar. By the way, that was the beginning of what it means to be an Eved Hashem. What did we say? We said Nasa v'Nishma. What was Nasa v'Nishma? Everyone talks about the order, Nasa before Nishma. Before I understand, before I'm Nasa, I'm going to do no matter what. In other words, Livchar Shalo Livchar. It doesn't matter what I understand or not. I'm going to do Nasa. And that's why immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, beautiful, beautiful. And then what do you do? Kafel Magigigas. To tell us, you got it right. And I'm going to force you because that's the way it's supposed to be. Livchor shalo livchor. But he wants to give us that choice to do it. Because then it's on this highest of levels. And that's what all the Yimei Elul are for. Avani l'doi divdoi l'li. And each and every one of us. It's true. It's true that we struggle. And it's true that we have difficult times. Even though we know it's MS. And we know who we should be during these days. But each and every one of us needs to choose not to choose. And I just want to make clear what that means. It means I'm going to do serious cheshbon and nefesh. You know, we all talk about during these days taking Kabbalahs and working on, this is all true, to work on certain mitzvahs and certain averas and change and be a baal tshuva. Sometimes you could change the whole foundation and it has an effect on every area of Avodas Hashem. To do serious cheshbon and nefesh and think, I'm going to live chor shalo live chor this elul. I'm going to change my whole philosophy of my life. It's not going to be hard anymore, the battles and the difficulties. I'm one with Hashem. I'm choosing not to go through the battles anymore. I'm choosing not to choose anymore. That's it, I give it up. I throw it out the window. I'm one with Hashem in everything. That's it, that's who we could be. There are Yidden who live their life like this. I mean, each and every one of us could be. Of Anila Doidi V'Doidi Lidiki Yid. Enough with the battles, enough with the struggles, enough with the roller coaster of life. One day being close to Hashem, and the next day battling, one day davening well, one day falling to taivas that I haven't fallen to in 3 years. That's because I'm living a life of bechira. But if I decide, livchar shalo livchar, I decide I'm no longer choosing. I haven't made, ani l'dodi v'dodi li. And the fruits will be in all the mitzvahs that we do, and all the learning and all the davening will have a different, it's going to have a different shame to it. It's going to be a sholdik. It's going to be livchar shalo livchar. Just to end with a story that I read in the same book. It's touch of purity. It gave me tremendous chizuk. During the period of the Cantonists, each town had to produce a certain amount of soldiers for the Tsar's army. This meant that quite often they would take young children, some as young as 5 and 6 years old, and send them away. The authorities would expend much effort in brainwashing these children. In most cases, their endeavors were met with success. Within a short time after the abduction, the children had all but forgotten the pleading and crying of their mothers and fathers who had begged them to remain Jews. These soldiers returned to their hometowns after a 25-year stint in the Tsar's army with no memories or recollections of being Jewish or of any Jewish practices. Almost always, these unfortunate souls were lost forever. But in one memorable Simchas Torah, one cantonist found his way back home. The shul was in the middle of celebrating the beautiful Akafos. The men danced in circles and held onto the Torah. And their children, or both, they sang and danced and clapped all night long. The joy was palpable everywhere. But towards the end of the Akafos, a muscular soldier appeared in the back of the shul. Those who noticed immediately stopped what they were doing and began to wonder why he was there. He did not seem Jewish. And that created some anxiety. Was he going to stop the Akavos? Would he decide to bother Jews just for some fun? Before long, he walked over to one of the Gemayim and presented himself as a Jewish soldier who had just returned from the army. He asked if he would be able to have a Akafa. Would he be able to dance together with the Sefer Torah? The Gemayim did not know what to say. The man seemed sincere enough. There was no reason not to give him a Akafa, so the Rav gave the soldier a talis. He awkwardly draped it over his shoulder. The Gemayim handed him the Sefer Torah. You can imagine the scene. He closed his eyes and began to sway back and forth with the Sefer Torah while the entire congregation watched. But after a short while, he placed the Torah onto a bench while he inexplicably removed his shirt. The crowd was aghast. They'd never seen anything like it before. The soldier was now dancing together with the Sefer Torah, bare-chested. The men in the shul ran over to the Rav and demanded that he do something. This was a terrible Chil Hashem. The Sefer Torah, the holiest object we possess, was being defiled by a brazen soldier. The Rav approached the soldier. He did not want to get into confrontation with the brawny fellow. At the same time, he's also not going to allow the Torah to be dishonored. The soldier stared defiantly at the Rav, and the dancing came to a halt. The Rav demanded explanation, but the soldier's behavior finally explained. I want you to know that many years ago, when I was a young boy, I was taken away from my parents. I remember my mother crying. She tried to stop them from taking me. So I was being ripped away from her arms. She cried to me, "Always remember that you are a Yid." But you know what? It was a lot easier said than done. I was not able to do any mitzvahs. I sinned terribly. I did not keep one Shabbos. I was never able to put on tefillin. There was only one thing I was able to do. I made a commitment that no matter what, I would never eat treif. The soldier still spoke with defiance in his voice and tears in his eyes. Suddenly he turned around for everyone to see. "Look at the scars on my back. They are evidence of the beatings I had to endure. They tried to force me to eat, but I never gave in. They whipped me and tortured me, but I refused to eat anything that was not kosher. They tried to shove pig meat down my throat, but I held out and remained strong. So I did not serve God with my mind, nor did I serve Him with my heart, but I served Him with my body. I endured beatings and pain for His sake. That is why I'm holding the Torah against my body." With that, the soldier squeezed the Torah tightly. The crowd watched as he danced together with the Torah in an unforgettable hakafah. A Yid who chose not to choose. Livcha shelo livcha. In that area, he chose, no matter what, I'm with Hashem. It doesn't matter the pain, it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, it doesn't matter the pressures. I'm livcha shelo livcha in that area. And for him, that was his avodas Hashem, that was his dveikus. And you see what it did for him, it brought him back. And he wants to be one with the Torah. Because he was livcha shelo livcha, each and every one of us. As we just started and we're entering into Elul. And each and every one of us wants a year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year of ruchnis, a year of kirvas elokim. Let's livcha shelo livcha. Let's make this choice. Let's think about Anila Doidavidili in the way that Rav Weinberger taught. Let's try to be a Yid who's with Hashem through thick and thin, no matter what is going on in one's life. Because I'm livcha shelo livcha, and that's chus. If we're livcha shelo livcha, so Hashem also will livcha shelo livcha. He'll choose not to make the choices between Misa and Chaim and Ye'asher and Ye'ani. But it'll all be only simcha and bracha. Only gezunt and a gebench jor and a ksivich simetoyva full simcha, full bracha for each and every one of us and for all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
Chaver, everybody should have in mind as well, I forgot to mention at the beginning of Shir, that all the Torah tonight was said over, and I had it in mind all day today, and in the ride home tonight, I just, Mamish with the chas and everything, just forgot to give it over to the chevra, to have in mind that all the Torah is of Vushleima for Mordechai Bennett's mother, and he's a big refua, we should have in mind in our tefillas as well, Pesel Chana Bas Tila Matel, Pesel Chana Bas Tila Matel, and as well, continued refuas and yeshuas for his father, Baruch Hashem is doing somewhat better, but needs continued refuos. Avram Yehuda ben Tamar Rezel. Bez Hashem, they should both have refuos and yeshuos. B'soich shar chel Yisrael. Only gezunt.